This podcast is brought to you by Contessa Digital.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pinder, founder of Her Women's Health, and I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey. Today, we're going to be talking all about safe core exercises in pregnancy. And this is something that as a women's health physio, I get asked a lot about. Women who are often very active pre-pregnancy, when they find out that they're pregnant, they wonder, what should and shouldn't I be doing? Can I keep going to the gym? Can I keep going to my regular yoga class, my regular Pilates class? Is it still safe? What's safe and what is not? And then most women, they get on Google and they get very confused and overwhelmed by all of the conflicting information out there, because there is lots of different opinions online around what is and isn't safe in pregnancy and from how early this information might apply. And I want to go through sort of the two main reasons that there's such conflicting information out there. And the first and most obvious one, which I think is probably the most important, is the fact that there's just no one size fits all. So every woman is going to have a different capacity to maintain intra-abdominal pressure, a different capacity of strength and awareness of her pelvic floor, and a different strength or fitness level coming into pregnancy. So if I have one woman, for example, who is a first-time mom, she's been doing F45 all through her preconception, all through her teenage years, all up until, you know, her late 20s, and then she falls pregnant, then if she has a really good baseline strength, she may still be able to do certain exercises like planks and tabletop position till some way through her pregnancy. However, if we take another woman, for example, who is a third time mom, who perhaps was very unwell in the first trimester and had to completely stop all forms of exercise, then her baseline strength going into that second trimester is going to be less, and therefore she may not have the capacity to hold, for example, a plank position or do a full push-up that like the other client might have. So we have to remember that there's just no one-size-fits-all answer, which is why consulting with a specialist like a pelvic floor physio during your pregnancy can be really helpful, so you can get specific advice, and attending a class that is designed specifically for pregnant women so that the class can be tailored and they can monitor for symptoms like pain, pressure, either vaginally or in the belly, peeping or abdominal doming that they might be getting with exercise when we're trying some harder intensity core exercises. So the second reason that there's conflicting information online is because for a long time, it wasn't entirely sure whether pregnant women should be doing a lot of physical activity. And traditionally, there was not enough research explaining whether or not exercise in pregnancy was safe and what the benefits were. So we didn't quite understand a long time ago, even not actually that long ago, that pregnant women could still physically exert themselves and there was no risk or harm to the baby. And in fact, now from the research, we know that there is so many benefits to staying physically active in pregnancy, and it can actually minimize a lot of risk of complications. And so we do actually want to be encouraging women to stay physically active and to continue to participate in whatever it is they enjoy. Maybe that's Pilates for some women, yoga for other women, a gym class, walking, going for a run, whatever it is for you. So it's important to find something that you enjoy and then to get individually tailored advice on what is and isn't safe. But today we're going to focus on core exercises specifically. So let's say you're going to a gym class or a Pilates class or a yoga class. Let's talk about when and what we might look at modifying in pregnancy. So the first thing, and this is probably the most obvious and well spoken about, is avoiding any shortening of the rectus abdominis muscles or crunches or sit-ups. And this is because when we do something like a sit-up or any crunches, head lifts, something where we're really thinking about shortening the intra-abdominal, shortening the trunk, we are increasing intra-abdominal pressure. And this can put more load down on the developing fetus. And it can, especially once the belly gets a little bit bigger, if we think about those muscles that run up and down, our six-pack muscles, our rectus abdominis, during pregnancy, they stretch and expand. And I want you to imagine if they are expanded most around the navel, around the belly button, there's this connective tissue down the middle called the linea alba, which thins and stretches. And then if we're doing lots of repetitive sit-ups or head lifts, the origin is going to pull towards the insertion. It's actually going to widen that gap. So we want to be mindful, particularly in the later stages of pregnancy, not doing excessive amounts of head lifts or shortening of the rectus abdominis muscles. So during that whole first, second, and third trimester, we just want to be a little bit more mindful that we're not doing significant repetitive shortening of those muscles. And in the first trimester, some women don't find out they're pregnant until 12 weeks. So if you have found out later in pregnancy that you're pregnant, then let's not worry or be concerned what we've been doing in the past, but let's just start to form good habits to take throughout the rest of pregnancy, particularly when that belly does get larger and those muscles are stretching and the connective tissue that holds them together is thinning out. But things like, as I said, sit-ups, crunches, if we can be mindful of doing them later in, particularly later in pregnancy, like getting out of bed, being mindful to roll onto our side and then swing the legs around so that we're not shortening those muscles. And if we're in a class and they're doing lots of repetitive sit-ups, crunches, head lifts, then maybe we can take an alternative exercise like holding the legs in a tabletop position, for instance, and just doing single leg lift or coming to a kneeling position and doing a kneeling lean back. So we will go through what exercises we can do, but first we'll just kind of go through and identify the ones that we want to be more mindful of. So the main thing is that shortening of the rectus abdominis. So crunches, sit-ups, anything where the trunk is shortening because it's squeezing the muscles down. And the idea of those exercises is to shorten those muscles. And that's the opposite of what we want to achieve in pregnancy. In pregnancy, the muscles are trying to lengthen and grow. But when it comes to the rest of the core, and if we think about the core as sort of four main deep core as the core four, so the deep core, I want you to visualize the whole abdominal cavity as a balloon. So you've got the pelvic floor on the bottom of the balloon, you've got the respiratory diaphragm on the top, and on either sides of the balloon, so the front side, you have those deep transversus abdominis muscles, and at the back, you have the deep multifidus and deep back muscles. So this forms the outside of the abdominal cavity. And when we are doing core exercises in pregnancy, yes, we do want to keep good activation through these muscles. And it's really about balance. So we don't want to be overactivating the muscles and we don't want to be underactivating. And this is when it comes to finding that ideal length tension relationship of a muscle. So when it comes to the pregnant belly and core exercise in pregnancy, if we are constantly gripping our external obliques or we're constantly contracting our pelvic floor, then these muscles become fatigued and they don't work as effectively. And often then they become tight and sometimes can cause problems. So we don't want the muscles to be too tight and overactive, which is where our yoga practice is very beneficial because it teaches us how to switch off some of these deep core muscles how to breathe properly down into our diaphragm, how to relax our pelvic floor. And then it also, if we come to our Pilates style practice or some sort form of strength exercise, we do want to maintain strength in those muscles, particularly in pregnancy, because as our hormone levels increase, there becomes increased laxity in the pelvis, which means that we need additional strength to provide that additional support. So we want to make sure that we are keeping our deep core system strong in pregnancy so that we don't have urinary incontinence or leaking of urine, so we don't have prolapse, so that we're breathing effectively down into the diaphragm, particularly when the baby is putting so much pressure up on the ribs. And so that whole front system gives support and stability and we don't have back pain or pelvic girdle pain. So working that deep core system can be very beneficial in pregnancy, but understanding that there's a balance between yoga or softening and practice, lengthening and stretching the muscles, and also contracting and shortening. And I think in pregnancy, it's a good time to find a balance between those two and to understand that there's also the individual spectrum that everyone is on. So some women, we think about a yoga class, if you've ever been to a yoga class, there's some women who have like their head to their knees and their hands on the floor in a forward fold. And there's other women that can barely get past their knees. So everyone has a different level of connective tissue tone. And if you're on that side of the spectrum that can pretty much already touch your head to your knees, then in pregnancy, combined with all of these increased hormones that make the connective tissue softer, my advice for that woman is going to be to focus more on a strength-focused practice, whether that is Pilates, bar, gym, squats, strength training in some regard, because her body type would probably favor more to have that increased tone and increased support. And it's unlikely that she is going to be holding a lot of tightness and tension already in those muscles. Whereas on the other side of the spectrum, particularly if someone is in pregnancy working at a desk, sitting at an office desk all day long, they might have a really tight back, their hips might be really tight, their hip flexors might become really tight. So we want to find that balance where in that circumstance, if they've got really tight muscles, tight fascia, they might benefit more from doing more lengthening exercises, more yoga, more meditation, more softening. Learning how to soften the body so that the belly can easily expand, so that the rib cage can expand, so that the pelvic floor can soften in preparation for birth, than the woman who has that softness in her connective tissue. So we want to find that balance and work out where you are on the spectrum. Working with a health professional can help you identify whether you need more strength orientated practices or more lengthening orientated practices, so that we find that balance between contraction and relaxation. So let's come back to our core exercises in pregnancy. So we do want to work the deep core system. We want to practice contracting and relaxing the pelvic floor. And again, identifying where you are on that spectrum. Some clients have a really overactive pelvic floor. So just strengthening in Kegels is not always the answer, especially in pregnancy, because in preparation for birth, we need the pelvic floor to be able to soften and relax. So learning how to both contract and relax, and maybe if you have a tendency to have an overactive pelvic floor, if you might have symptoms of pain with sex or pain with tampons or chronic tightening or endometriosis in the past, you may want to focus more on that softening, that feeling of the relaxation, more breath techniques. Whereas if your pelvic floor is underactive and you're experiencing maybe heaviness vaginally in a third pregnancy or some pubic symphysis pain or prolapse symptoms, then maybe we need to focus more on contraction. So again, finding that balance, practicing the pelvic floor activation and learning both how to contract and relax, learning how to engage the diaphragm properly. Our breath is so important in pregnancy. When it comes to exercise in pregnancy, after avoiding shortening of the rectus abdominis, the second piece of advice that I normally give to clients is to avoid anything where breath holding is occurring. So If you are lifting at the gym, making sure that you can stay within a limit where you can still breathe through the exercise. Because when we're breath holding, again, we're creating that sudden increase in intra-abdominal pressure, which can put more strain down on the baby. So, and also on the pelvic floor. So we want to make sure that we can still breathe through exercise. So whether it's our yoga practice, our strength training, even going for a run, making sure that we're not getting really, really short of breath, or particularly with heavy lifting, that we're not doing that moment of breath hold. Then working that deep transversus abdominis muscle, we can do that in all different positions. Some of my favorite positions to activate the core in pregnancy are four-point kneeling. So on all fours, practicing that hugging the baby and lifting up with the pelvic floor and the breath. Practicing cat dog, so arm and leg long in four-point kneeling. Practicing side, so oblique activation. So we still want to keep the superficial core strong. So the superficial core is four muscles again. We've got the deep transversus abdominis, so that's the front core. Then we've got on top of that the internal and external obliques, which wrap across the belly. And then on the very superficial muscle is our rectus abdominis. So we want to keep this system strong as well. We just want to focus on avoiding any breath holding or shortening of those muscles. So the way that we can do this is through side lying positions or side planks, doing four-point kneeling work, doing short periods of supine work, so laying on your back. We don't want to be there for long periods in pregnancy, particularly in the later stages of pregnancy. So if in a class, particularly a yoga class, if they're doing a meditation in Shavasana, it might be preferable in pregnancy to use a bolster or to lay on your side. And that's just a good habit. If we lay the foundation early in pregnancy, we get into good habits that we can take with us through the rest of pregnancy. Then in terms of exercise, if you're in a Pilates reformer class, laying on your back is safe for that up until about 20 weeks. And then we do want to minimize the amount of time that we're there. And the reason for this is because later in pregnancy, when the belly starts to get bigger and the baby's weight is sitting high, if we're laying flat on our back, there can be a slight compression on one of the veins that comes out of the heart, one of the major vessels, and this can reduce blood supply to the fetus. And there is studies that have found that in pregnancy, particularly those last, the last trimester, the last from about 32 weeks onwards, that there's an increased risk of stillbirth if a woman falls asleep on her back. And this is where we have then generated this fear around exercising or doing any form of sort of exercise class laying on our back. And if we think about it, when we are exercising, our heart rate is also coming up. So our heart rate becomes elevated because we have been exercising. So the relative restriction through that blood vessel is less. So the risk is less. But again, that's why if our heart rate isn't as elevated, like in a Shavasana or in a relaxation position, can be a really good habit to get into just to start elevating the shoulders on a bolster, maybe using a bolster propped up on a block or a couple of cushions, or even laying on your side during that Shavasana. But in, say, a Pilates reformer class, absolutely up until 20 weeks, we can do supine work, so laying on the back. And then from there, what I like to do is actually use a jump board and pop the jump board up against the shoulder rest, on the shoulder rest, so that you've got that slight incline, just so that we're elevating the heart slightly higher than the belly, and then there's less of that restriction on the vena cava. So that's when it comes to supine exercise, so laying on your back in pregnancy. So other positions that we can do core activation in is side lying position. So as I said, side plank on the knees, side plank on the feet, four-point kneeling, knee hovers, or full plank, as long as we can maintain good breath control and that we're not experiencing any of what I'll call, we'll go through the whole five P's, which is the framework that I use. Pain, okay, pain is a sign that we're pushing too hard. Particularly pain around the belly, pain in the pelvic girdle, pain in the lower back, any pain, particularly sharp pain, more than about a 2 or 3 out of 10. peeing, if you're getting any leaking during the exercise, you're probably doing an exercise that is too strong for you, too hard, and we may need to regress. So if you're doing deadlifts or push press in a gym class and you're experiencing urinary leakage, then it's a sign that we need to back off. We may need to regress the weight and start to focus a bit more on the pelvic floor. So pain, peeing, peeping or abdominal doming, if you're noticing significant doming when you're doing a plank or a push-up or whatever exercise it is that's related to the core, can you first of all breathe through that, engage the deep pelvic floor and transversus abdominis and see if that improves? And if you can't, is there an exercise regression? So if we're on if we're in a full plank, for example, and we drop to the knees, could you do a four-point kneeling knee hover instead of a full plank? And can you control that deep system and the breath when you're doing that? So it's really good to have a range of exercises that we can progress and a range of exercises that we can regress so that we know how we can make it easier and easier throughout pregnancy, monitoring those five P's. So pain, peeing, peeping, popping, which is like when, particularly in terms of form in four-point kneeling work, so in a plank, for instance, if the weight of the belly is getting too heavy and the woman is starting to arch her lower back, and the tummy is really popping down, then that is a sign that, again, the exercise is too strong, we need to progress it. Or if on her back she's doing tabletop, for instance, and this is something to monitor in Pilates classes in pregnancy, she's laying on her back doing arms and straps, and throughout maybe the first 20 weeks she's doing that with the legs in tabletop because it is safe. There's no shortening of those muscles. We can hold those legs in tabletop. But then there becomes a point where she's starting to really arch her lower back and her belly's really pushing out, or she's not able to control the breath as easily, or she's feeling pain or pressure or any leaking, then it's time that we regress the exercise. And for a reformer class, a really good alternative is to use actually a big fit ball, rest it on the foot bar, or on the, like, not on the actual foot bar itself, but on the foot platform, rest it there, and then she can rest her feet on the ball in tabletop, and it's still going to be a little bit wobbly and a little bit of a core challenge, but she has the weight of the feet down on the ball, so she's not completely holding tabletop with the legs suspended. So then she can continue to work her arms and straps. So if you are doing Pilates reformer, that's a really good thing to monitor for. Pain, peeing, popping, peeping or abdominal doming. And the last thing is pressure or prolapse symptoms. So heaviness vaginally, pressure vaginally, anything that could indicate we're putting maybe too much load on the pelvic floor. And we can apply these five P's to anything. So if we think about, can I run in pregnancy? Well, have you been running pre-pregnancy? That's probably going to dictate whether you can still do it without any pain, without any heaviness vaginally, without any peeping or pressure, or even thinking about sort of the ability to maintain good breath control. Or if we think about jumping, again, what's the state of the pelvic floor? Can we do it without any symptoms of heaviness, of leaking, of pain, of pressure? Because then maybe the woman can keep jumping, and maybe, especially if it's her first time pregnancy, it's not unsafe for her pelvic floor. But if it was a third time mom and she was getting urinary leakage when she was doing it in pregnancy, I'd probably say, no, this is not the best thing for your pelvic floor. So those are the main things when it comes to core exercises. There's no one size fits all. We monitor those five P's. We know a whole heap of progressions and then how to regress it as the pregnancy goes on. And we keep an eye on breath control, and we are aware that we're not doing any shortening of those abdominal muscles. From there, it's just a matter of maintaining control, working with a health professional. So I'll link my upcoming, I'm doing a prenatal pelvic floor and Pilates challenge at the end of March. So if you want to join, it'll be 3 days of learning how to properly relax and contract the pelvic floor, and also doing some core exercises and some glute and arm exercises for pregnancy. So I will link that in the show notes, and I'll pop the link in our Facebook group. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this session and that you have learned something about core exercises in pregnancy. You have more of an understanding of what's safe and how There is no one size fits all. There's no one answer. And feel free to get in touch, leave a message or an email. Get in touch if you have any questions or dramas. Otherwise, I'll see you guys again next week.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.